reapers taken home. Report our work to Jesus, Lord of harvest, and hope he'll smile and that he'll say, well done. Today we reap or miss the golden harvest. Today is given us lost souls to win. Oh, then to save some dear ones from the burning, today we'll go to bring some sinner in. How many times I should have strongly pleaded, how often did I fail to strictly warn. The Spirit moved, oh, had I pled for Jesus, the grain is full in lost ones not reborn. Despite the heat, the ceaseless toil, the hardship, the broken heart, or those we cannot win. Misunderstood, because we're off peculiar, still no regrets we'll have but for our sin. Today we reap, or miss the golden harvest, today is given us lost souls to win. Oh, then to save some dear ones from the burning, today we'll go to bring some sinner in. A day of pleasure or a feast of friendship, a house or car or garments fair or fame, we'll all be trash when souls are brought to heaven. And then how sad to face the slacker's blame. The harvest white with reapers few is wasting, and many souls will die and never know the love of God, the joy of sins forgiven. Oh, let us weep and love and pray and go. Today we reap or miss the golden harvest. Today is given us lost souls to win. Oh, then to save some dear ones from the burning, today we'll go to bring some sinner in.
Amen. Thank you, guys. The message is true. We've got to get the word to our friends, to our neighbors, to people, so that we can meet them again in heaven. Thank you very much again. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 tonight. I don't know if you know what is in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. But if there's one message that I have been dreading to preach, it's this message. And I'm being dead honest. I have been, to tell you the truth, I've even put it off for a couple weeks. And I have come up with different things to do. If you think back in the last couple weeks, you'll notice that we didn't do this. I have been putting it off because I didn't want to do it. And so here we are. And we're going to go ahead and look at it. And here's, I'm just going to say this in the outset. The reason why we're going through it is simply because it is next in line in the Word of God. I'm not preaching a topical message because I want to preach it. I'm not preaching it because I feel like you need it. I'm preaching it because it is in the Word of God. And so you need to make sure and take it that way. And in fact, I'm not even going to really preach it. I'm going to teach it. I'm just going to teach you what the Scripture says. And we're going to move on from there. You say, what in the world is it? Now, there's a couple things that we can get. We're going to go back through it again another time because the overriding principle is 1 Corinthians chapter 9 is nestled in between a couple other chapters that Paul is talking about Christian liberty and limiting ourselves for the sake of other people, for love, for the sake of the gospel and other things. Chapter 9 is Paul's example of his saying no to himself for the situation of other people, okay? Now, you say, well, what's so bad about that? Why are you dreading preaching that? Well, that's kind of part two of the message or the chapter. We will go back through it in that light. We'll look and see, so what? How is Paul using his personal example of self-limitation for the sake of these of love and these other people and for the testimony of the gospel? We'll look at that. So why did Paul do it? And the second half of the chapter is mostly talking about that, but the first half is something else. And how was Paul limiting himself? And so here it goes. The message for tonight is called Supporting the Man of God. All right, Supporting the Man of God. Honestly, in the first 14 or so verses, Paul gives, depending on how you divide it up, 5 or 6 reasons of why and how you support the man of God that is given very practically, of course, talking about pastors here. Could be talking about other people in the ministry, but how you do that, and or even say how to do it. Support, different supports of why you're supposed to. Okay? So there's, again, we're going to go through, again, I'm not going to even preach it. There's going to be, I'm going to give you about 5 or 6 points of why the scriptures indicate to us to take care of God's man, okay? So please understand that with me. Again, I've been trying to put it off because what preacher, like what pastor likes to get up and say, okay, this is what you're supposed to do for us. I don't even want you to take it that way. I just want you to I just want to teach you what the Word of God says, okay? And so you understand it. Again, I wanted to pass over it, but I don't feel like I would do right by do it by passing over, because you need to understand what the Word of God says. And so we're gonna do it, and we're gonna be done with it, and we're gonna move on, okay? So let's go ahead and look at the first. I'm gonna go ahead and read the first 14 verses. I want you to try to follow what it's being said, and then I'm gonna go through and just simply give you the steps, give you some other support so that you know what the scriptures say, okay? So starting in chapter 9, let's go through 1 to 14, and then we'll stop with verse 14 there. Am I not an apostle? Now again, Paul is continuing on with some thoughts. He is going to, it's right in the middle, he's going to give his personal example of self-limitation. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yea, doubtless I am to you. For the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. Mine answer to them that do examine me is this. Have we not power to eat and to drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? Or I only and Barnabas, have not we power to forbear working? Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Okay. I don't know if you caught it, but there's, again, 5 or 6 reasons why Paul said, let me just put it very bluntly. He says, as a minister, I or we, as the ministers, have every right to receive your care in life. And he gives those reasons. Okay, now, the overall picture is almost the opposite. Paul is giving all those things, and in the end, we're going to see he's going to actually forego those things. And he said, listen, I'm not even going to take those things. Now, the point is not that every good and godly pastor tell his church that he's not going to take it. Paul was in a unique situation that these people were pointing at him, and had he taken those things, they were ready to crush him down and make him look, you know, and be like, see, you're in it for yourself. You're not. Paul is making a big point here. People, I'm honestly trying to minister to you, and if you are going to have that attitude towards me, I would rather say no to what I rightfully deserve. What I'm going to give to you tonight was why he rightfully deserved it and why every other minister of the gospel, I hesitate to say deserve. We all understand we don't deserve anything, right? None of us deserve anything. So when I say what this pastor or this minister deserves, I'm not saying that we deserve anything. I'm saying the only deserving comes because of what is these points that I'm giving. Because God has said that this is supposed to happen. Okay, did I confuse everybody of what we're looking at here? Okay, so Paul is giving some points. That's where we're going to go. Next week we'll look at how he limited himself. And that's the overall bigger principle here. But I'm not going to pass up what's given here just so that you understand that. Okay, so let's give the reasons. What was the first reason in verses 1 to 6 that Paul gives? The first thing is he was an apostle. You can see that in the first several verses. Paul is pointing out that he was an apostle. You know, he was an apostle. Now, look at an interesting word that is given here. He uses the word power. Notice in verse 4, he talks about his apostleship right away. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ, our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? I mean, did you catch that in verse 4? I mean, he's asking several rhetorical questions that are there, and he's basically saying, listen, I'm an apostle. What's an apostle? Somebody that was appointed by God, right? He was appointed by God. He had the word power is used, but in other words, he had the authority. Who had commissioned Paul and these apostles to do their ministry? Who did it come from? Did Paul appoint himself? Did Peter appoint himself? No. Who had appointed him? God did. The Lord did. Jesus specifically did. He had been commissioned of the Lord to do the work of the ministry. We've got to understand that right away. You know, the argument here, Paul is saying, listen, I didn't take this position. In fact, any minister of the Lord hopefully did not take the position. God gave it. That doesn't mean that sometimes could be some different motives that go on in our lives and thinking through, and we're thinking wrong in certain ways. But honestly, the reason why a person is there and it can stay there is because God has appointed this person to be there. And that would be true of every minister of the Word of God. God has put them in that place. And so we've got to recognize the power and authority that has been given. God had commissioned him to be apostle. He had the right and authority to be cared for. He even had them as the fruit of his labor. Didn't we read that in there? And even in verse 1, he said, I mean, you are witnesses. You are even here present because of what God has done through my life. I have given, have gotten saved, and now you're growing in the Lord. You're the fruit of all of this. So he had the power, he had the authority. Power to what? Power to give the word. Here we see even eat and drink. Notice in verse 4, Verse 3 is like, okay, here's the start of my examination, okay? Verse 4, have we not power to eat and to drink? What's he basically saying? He's like, don't we have, as a human being, a right to eat and drink? And of course, what's the answer to that? Does every human being have the right to eat and drink? Well, of course, yes. You know, you're a human just like us. And why should we say no to you? Because you are a pastor. You are a person that's leading this. Of course, you have the right to eat and to drink. Let's take our Bibles. We're going to turn to a number of other passages to help support what we're looking at this evening. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. And again, honestly, I did not prepare a message. I'm going to be honest with you. I got all of my information just from some other men, and I put it down on paper. I purpose before you that I just simply am giving you God's information, okay? I didn't make some good points that will really get them. I didn't do that. No, I just simply write down. I'll admit, I even almost copied from other men. I took from several different men, and I got the information down to give to you, okay? 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 17 and 18 is, you know, do we have the right to eat and drink like any other ordinary person? And of course, the answer is yes. 1 Timothy 5, 17 and 18, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Of course, that's speaking to a minister of God's word. And of course, there's some, there's just, you know, these men are ruling well. Of course, how you define what well is. But they're counted worthy of double honor, especially those, they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the labor is worthy of his reward. Okay? So very simply there, you see the principles that God has given to us in his word that we need to take care of those people. And of course, should they eat and drink just like an ordinary person? The answer is yes. Okay? And of course, it goes beyond the eating and drinking. It goes on to the normal aspects of life. Should they have a house to live in, a place to live? You know, should we put the preacher out in a tent? Should we, you know, of course not. They ought to live like other people live, okay? Galatians chapter 6 and verse 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 6. So him that is taught in the word, who would that be? That would be you, okay? So those who are being taught, the congregation, those who are being taught in the word, communicate, would be to give unto him that teacheth, so the one that is actually teaching the word of God, in all good things. So if there's good things out there to be had, this passage is teaching that the people that are the learners ought to communicate or give that to that individual so that they can live their lives in the same manner that we live our lives. Okay, so to eat and drink. Notice the second thing that he asks about power. Verse 4, have you power to eat and to drink? Number 5, this is an interesting one. Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife? Okay, here, very simply put, as I study this passage, is not only we do we take care of the minister and his livelihood, we take care of them as they go about. You notice that it says, and not power to lead about. You know, what is that? Of course, the first thing is there's certainly implications here that it's a very biblical thing that a pastor be married. In fact, who's the only person mentioned in this verse? Go ahead, look at it. Who's the one person named? Peter. Oh, isn't that interesting? Doesn't the Catholic Church teach that of all people shouldn't be married? Well, the one example that's given of one that was married was Peter, okay? Very interesting. But Peter was there, and obviously he had a wife, but then it says to lead about a wife. In other words, everywhere that Peter or Jesus or the brothers, you know, Paul's brothers that he would have had, or it says the other apostles, the other brethren of the Lord, or Peter. We could read about Peter and his marriage, you know, just on the kind of a side note in Mark chapter 1 and verse 30. It just mentions that his wife, talking about his wife. But here it's talking about leading about, okay? There's a Greek word that is used here to lead about with one's self. So as one's self goes, that a wife goes also. It makes sense here that Paul is saying that as you take care of the minister, you also take care of his wife. And as he goes, she goes. And very practically, it's basically saying, you know, as you take care of his expenses, you take care of her expenses as well. Okay? Just to put it very down to earth, that's what it's saying. As you minister and as we take care of your needs, as you we'll provide for your this and for your that, we also take care of those needs of the wife. That is an amazing concept to think about. You don't just take care of the man of God. You take care of his family. You take care of those that so that they are able to minister as well. And so, again, that word lead about with oneself or to carry about in one's company. And we see the examples of the other apostles. And obviously, many of the other apostles were married and leading about their wives in their ministries, going where they went. We don't read much about those wives, but obviously there were the other brethren, and then of course And then, of course, Peter that is mentioned there. All right, so first of all, Paul is saying, you know, that I have a right to be taken care of because I've been appointed by God to do the work of the ministry, and we have a legal right, you know, that we should be able to partake of the things that you partake in. Let's look at verse 7 for the second reason. Verse 7, he says, who goeth a warfare anytime? Now, catch the three applications that he uses here, or instances that he uses. First of all, who goeth to warfare anytime at his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Okay, we have three here. What's the first one? We've got a soldier, right? And what does he say about the soldier? Is the soldier that is employed, you know, by the government or the country, are their needs taken care of? And what's the answer? Yeah, you go into the military and he's going to be given his needs, his goods, to go out and do that. Paul is saying, he's bringing another thing. It only makes sense that a soldier is going to be taken care of and given his things so that he can do his work. What's the second thing that was mentioned? We got the farmer, okay? The farmer. And it says here, who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof. It'd kind of be interesting, you know, that a farmer go and plant his vineyard or plant his things, and he would not even be allowed to even take part of that as part of his pay. You know, part of it, what do you give? Well, at least, you know, if I'm a potato farmer, it seems like I should opt to eat the potatoes that I grow, right? It makes sense. Nobody stops, you know, the farmer and says, listen, why are you eating that? Because I grew it. Okay, and so he's making a point here about the soldier. He's making about the part about the farmer. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 6, the husband that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Okay, it's a biblical principle that if you are doing work, you should be taken care of. And then thirdly, we see the shepherd that is taking care of the flock. Okay, one man said this, it is customary to take care of God's man. It is rightful to take care of God's man, and it is absolutely expected to take care of God's man, just as it is in nature, okay, and in the regular workforce. And so we see it's very customary. So the first point is Paul was an apostle, called of God to do the work, should be taken care of. It was customary in life to pay workers. Number three, we look at verses 8 through 11. Verses 8 through 11, we see that it is according to God's law. Say I these things as a man? Paul is basically saying, is this coming from me? And then he counters that with, or saith not the law the same also? Could we not go back to the law and see what the law says? The law that was given to Moses, the law that was given by God, the law that was given to those Jewish people. For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? You know, the oxen, even the oxen that did the work were, in a sense, paid for what they did. Deuteronomy chapter 25 and verse 4 says, thou shalt not muzzle the ox when he treadeth out the corn. See, God cares more. And did you notice what he said here? He says, doth God take care for oxen? And what we think that's saying here is, doesn't God take care of them? But what he's really saying is this. He's saying, if I do that for an ox, I more so do that for God's minister. That's what he means when he says there, doth God take care for oxen? You know, if I do this for the oxen, and he did for the oxen, again, they're doing the work, and of course, we don't muzzle them. They should be able to partake. God cares more about man and the ministers than he does the oxen. So the oxen were paid, and then he goes on to talk about the material payment for even spiritual work. Notice what he says in verse verse 10 and 11. Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, Is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? So what is he saying there? He's saying, okay, if this minister of God is given and doing the work for the spiritual well-being of the people, you might say, well, shouldn't we just give back spiritual things? We'll pray for him. The answer to that is if he is doing the work for the spiritual things, should we not be willing to give back even of, and if he uses the word carnal things or the fleshly things, here he's not talking about sinful things, he's talking about the things that we need in our physical lives. Shouldn't you take care of his food, his clothing, his house, his situations? Because that's what the law of God's saying. So it was according to God's law that this happened. And then, of course, he gives examples of even other churches here. You don't necessarily see it, but he talks about the others in verse 12. If others be partakers of this power, there was definitely some others. You go back, had the church in Corinth been led by some other men? They had been. In fact, Apollos had been there leading. We have even Peter was there leading, and some other examples that were given there. He's referring to these. There are other examples. But there had been some other churches that had met Paul's needs in the past. Now, some might say, well, Paul is basically setting out a principle here that, you know, because we know that eventually he's going to say that I don't, you know, that if you're going to be a good pastor, you're not accept anything. But the fact of the matter is Paul had accepted pay from many other places in the scriptures. It's just in this case, it was the right thing to say no because of what they were accusing him of. But if we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, go there really quickly, in verses 1 to 5, we see something here, examples of other churches that had supported him. And of course, it's painted in a very positive light. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 to 5. Paul says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how in that a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us much, with much entreaty, that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministry to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. And so we see here, again, just more. Paul is just laying out the example that is supposed to be given. He says, providing for our leaders is, in a sense, giving to the Lord. Now you need to think through that a little bit. Giving to your leaders is providing to the Lord. That is what the Lord wants. If that's what the Lord wants, then when I'm giving, okay, so the pastor or the whoever, you know, in the ministry, the missionary, the evangelist, they need to be paid. We're giving that. This is actually giving to the Lord. When we give to the Lord, we're giving to those leaders. And so we need to look at it that way, not as just I'm giving to this individual. No, I'm giving to the Lord to do the work of the ministry. And of course, he has graciously provided, and so should we. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by God in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 9:6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. I mentioned in verse 12, others, Apollos, Peter. Let's go to verse 13. Here we see the universal pattern that is given. Look at verse 13. Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? All right. So what's he referring to there? Referring to the priesthood. Going back to the priests. You remember how things worked with the priests? Honestly, it was a unique situation. I like this approach to it. Doesn't mean that it's, I don't know if it's the right or wrong approach, but I love the way the priests were looked at. It honestly wasn't that the congregation of the people worked for the people so that the people paid them what it was, rather, because they were doing the work in the temple, they made sure to take care of all of his needs. You see the difference? In one case, you say, okay, he's doing this work and we're going to pay him for it. The other case is, no, we're not paying for it. We're not paying him to do the work, but we are making sure that all of his needs are taken care of. That really is the right way to look at the minister of God. Does that make sense? We're taking care of all of his needs. Not we're paying the pastor. We're not paying the minister. We're not paying the man of God. We're making sure that his needs are all taken care of. That's what he's saying. Let's go back and see that back in the Old Testament, the universal pattern of the priesthood. Numbers chapter 18. Numbers, we're just about done here because, again, this is number 5, the universal pattern. There's 6 of them. Universal pattern that is given. So go back to Numbers chapter 18. Numbers chapter 18, and let's look at this. It's a little bit lengthy, but we've got a little bit of time here towards the end. We're just about done. Let's look at Numbers chapter 18 and start in verse 8. I don't know that I want to go through that whole thing, but let's get started in it just so you can see the example here. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, behold, I also have given thee the charge of mine heave offerings of all the hallowed things of the children of Israel. Unto thee have I given them by reason of the anointing, and to thy sons by an ordinance forever. This shall be thine of the most holy things, reserved from the fire, every oblation of theirs, every meat offering of theirs, and every sin offering of theirs, and every trespass offering of theirs, which they shall render unto me, shall be most holy for thee and for thy sons. And the most holy place shalt thou eat it. Every male shall eat it. It shall be holy unto thee. And this is thine, the heave offering of their gift, with all the wave offerings of the children of Israel. I have given them unto thee, and to thy sons, and to thy daughters with thee, by a statute for everyone that is clean in my house shall eat of it. All the best of the oil, all the best of the wine, of the wheat, the first fruits of them, which they shall offer unto the Lord, them have I given thee. And whatsoever is first ripe in the land, which they shall bring unto the Lord, shall be thine. Every one that is clean in thine house shall eat of it. Everything devoted in Israel shall be thine. And he goes on down the list, verse 17, but the first thing of a cow, or the first thing of a sheep, or the first thing of the goat, thou shalt not redeem. They are holy. Thou shalt sprinkle their blood upon the altar, and shall burn the fat for an offering made by fire, for a sweet savor unto the Lord. And the flesh of them shall be thine, as the wave breast and as the right shoulder are thine. And I'm gonna stop there. Are you getting what is being taken here? Okay, so these people were supposed to give to the temple, right, to God. They were supposed to give in all of these offerings. And what they would do is the priests would take these offerings and they would do the sacrifice. They would do all this work. And then what was to happen with what came in? They brought these things to the Lord. They worshiped the Lord. They glorified the Lord with these things, the people's rightful worship. So they came, they worshiped, they did this, they gave of these things for the sacrifices. They worshiped the Lord. So God got his. And what came next? These priests got the rest. So they came and brought a shoulder of meat in. That's what they got. Everything they brought in, they received, and it was of their first fruits. They didn't bring in the worst. They didn't bring in the bad. They brought in the best. These things were offered to the Lord, and then the priests. This is kind of how they were paid. They got those things, and that's how they lived. In every aspect of life, their needs were taken care of. Their food, their clothing, whatever, because as they brought these things, then they were taken care of. And so then the priests were able to live the same way the other people were, because that's how God instituted happening. And so we see this, number 5, the universal pattern of the priesthood. This has always been the way that God's ministers are taken care of. People taking care of the ministers. And then lastly, if no other, we see in Luke chapter 10, go to Luke chapter 10, and we see lastly Because Jesus ordained it himself. Luke chapter 10, and let's look at verses 7 and 8. Why do we take care of the man of God? Why do we support? Because lastly, Jesus ordained it. He said, Luke chapter 10, verses 7 and 8, and in the same house remain eating and drinking such things as they give, for the labor is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house, and into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. Of course, speaking to his disciples there, as you go, I'm ordaining that you guys will be taken care of wherever you go. So here we have it. I told you, I'm not preaching a message to you. I'm not going to get into application and tell you what to do and what not to do. I'm simply telling you this. Paul, right here, is giving something in a much larger picture of what he was going to actually deny. He's going to say, I'm not going to do it. Why, again, would he deny? We'll talk more about it when we go over it. But the fact of the matter is there was tough situations there. And if Paul partook of it, they were about ready to cinch him. You're in this for yourself. And Paul stops and says, listen, I didn't plan all this. God ordained me to do this. I'm an apostle. He says, God has told us, you know, to take care of it. It's customary in nature to take care and pay for workers. He said, it's according to God's law that he has already put it in practice. Other leaders have exercised this right, and you took care of them. You guys have made it customary here, even in this church. The universal pattern of the priesthood was that they'd be taken care of. And if all of that weren't true, Jesus commanded us to take care of our leaders, spiritual leaders. And so there you have the example that is given. We need to make sure. Forget me. We as Christians need to always, no matter what ministry we're in, we always need to make sure that we're taken care of in life, in the areas that we live in. Not like, well, they don't have this realm of life. They are just for the church work. In all of manner of life, we take care of those needs and we support the man of God. And so I trust that God's word has spoken and shown you just that we understand what the scriptures say. And so now we'll look and see, man, all of that Paul should have gotten, and he was very firm on that. Talking about a person that limited themselves or their rights, he said, I'll have nothing to do with it in this case. Wow, what a statement that he is making. What an example he's given for us to follow as well. Father, I do pray that as we have looked at this passage, that we could understand what the scriptures say and teach. Lord, it is certainly not something that I have wanted to share, but Lord, you have said it in your word, and so we need to look at it. And so, God, I've just tried to present to the people what your word says, Lord, and I pray that we would just be very faithful to do as you've called us to do. Lord, and we know you have been so good to us. You will take care of our needs. And Lord, we just want to thank you for how good you've been to every one of us. God, every one of us in this room, you have met our needs. You have taken care of us. You have given. Lord, even when you deserve all from us, you have been so faithful to give to us. So God, we're very grateful. May we always be thankful for the things that you have given to us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. With that,